1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing our series on 1 Corinthians. And remember, as I mentioned before, although 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14 deal with gifts in general, spiritual gifts in general, we will concentrate in more detail on the gift of tongues because it seems to be singled out today by sincere Christians as a necessary proof of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They're wrong, but they're sincerely persuaded of that. It was also wrongly singled out by carnal, pride-filled Corinthian Christians as the only gift they considered worth having. About 3 weeks ago, we examined some principles concerning spiritual gifts in general. Let me just list them for you. Number one, it seems that all spiritual gifts can be placed in one of two categories: speaking gifts and service gifts. However, ultimately, they are all service gifts because they are meant to be used in service to others. The second principle concerning special gifts or spiritual gifts in general, the second principle is most believers have one, although the apostles evidently had almost all the gifts. Or another way to look at it is that each believer has been given a spiritual gift that is a unique blend of supernatural ability or a unique expression of one of these categories of gifts listed in several places in the epistles. Thirdly, each different gift is distributed by the Holy Spirit to each believer as the Holy Spirit decides, not as the believer decides. Number four, it is God who supernaturally energizes and enables the believer to exercise his gift. It's not something that the believer can effectively carry out in the power of his own flesh. Fifthly, the purpose of these gifts was to benefit the other believers, not to prove something about the believer who had been given that gift. Number six, these spiritual gifts God has given to every believer are not optional, but rather are vital and essential in order to grow in grace and glorify God as a local church. As I've repeated in the previous two messages, most of the gifts or gift categories listed in the New Testament are still operating today. But there are a few gifts, what we call attesting sign gifts, that as a general rule ceased with the completion of the scriptures. We'll deal with this principle in the next message when we cover tongues, since I believe tongues and interpretation of tongues were two of these sign gifts, along with the gifts of healing and miracles, that ceased with the completion of the scriptures. In the previous two messages in this series, message number 21 and number 22, if you're looking for it on our website, we covered the first five gifts listed for us in verses 8 through 10. The first three gifts, over the first three, were gifts still present today: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and faith. And of course, this last one, faith, refers to a special ability to trust God in difficult and demanding ways beyond what God would demand of other believers who did not have that special gift. The next two were temporary sign gifts, healing and miracles. I won't take time to review these gifts because those messages are available for you on our website. So once again, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, would you follow along with your eyes and ears as I recite this out loud? 1 Corinthians 12, 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So let's focus this afternoon first on the gift of prophecy. You'll find that in verse 10. The permanent nature of this gift has been debated by conservative Christians. To quote one Bible commentator, there has long been a difference of interpretation among evangelicals as to whether or not prophecy is a continuing permanent gift or like healings and miracles passed away with the apostolic age. By apostolic age, we mean by the age during which the apostles lived. After they died, then that apostolic age was over. One of the primary arguments for those who maintain it was a temporary sign gift, that it was a revelatory gift only, and therefore ceased when Revelation ceased, when the last verse of the book of Revelation was inscripturated. This idea then is based on 1 Corinthians 13:8, where the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge all are referred to together as ceasing. As we will discuss when we get to that passage later in the series, even though they all appear in that verse, prophecy and knowledge are not in the same category as tongues. And the mention of them together in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, does not prove they are of the same type, any more than the mention of the various gifts in chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, which we just read, proves they are all of the same type. In fact, in chapter 13, verse 8, states that knowledge and prophecy will be done away. The verb is in the passive voice. Whereas tongues will cease, this verb is in the middle voice. That sounds like a lot of complicated Greek grammar. It is, and we'll get to that. After studying this out long and carefully, I have personally concluded that the gift of prophecy is a permanent, edifying gift. In both the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is nabah, and the New Testament Greek, prophetuo. The word simply means to speak forth, proclaim. It assumes the speaker's before an audience and could mean to speak publicly. The connotation of prediction was added sometime in the Middle Ages. Although many of the prophets made predictions, that was not their basic ministry, and the idea is not involved in the original terms used to describe them and their work. The biblical prophets sometimes revealed, you see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and sometimes only reiterated what had already been revealed. A prophet of God, therefore, is simply one who speaks forth God's word. I say that again. A prophet of God is simply one who speaks forth God's word. And prophecy is the proclaiming of that word. The gift of prophecy is the spirit-given and spirit-empowered ability to proclaim the word effectively. Since the completion of Scripture, prophecy has no longer been the means of new revelation, but has only proclaimed what has already been revealed in Scripture. And that's what your pastor is doing right now. So in a biblical sense, I would be considered a prophet, but I don't predict anything. Okay? Now, the simplest and clearest definition of this function is given by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So just turn a page or two over and keep your place in 1 Corinthians 12. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, but one who prophesies speaks to men for, well, what's the next word? Edification and exhortation and consolation. So that's what a New Testament prophet does. Now, it is a gift that God has given to men in all time periods, from the time that man became a sinner to the present day, and will continue until the new heavens and the new earth are created. In fact, Paul urges believers in general, in other words, as a group, especially a local church, to pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, and there prophesy is the idea of preach. Although no individual believer can ask for a particular gift, remember, the Holy Spirit gives as he decides. Yet God's people need this gift in the local church to operate in their midst more than all the other gifts. So the last gift we'll consider this afternoon is from verse 10, the gift of discerning or distinguishing of spirits. This is another permanent gift and is an important gift for the protection of the church. The basic meaning of the Greek word diakrino, translated here as distinguishing in this context, has to do with separating out for examination and judging in order to determine what is genuine and what is counterfeit. Remember that Satan is the great deceiver, the father of lies, John chapter 8, verse 44. And ever since the fall, he and his demons have counterfeited God's message and God's work. All Christians should judge carefully what they hear and read and not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. That is what the God-fearing and noble-minded Jews of Berea did when they first heard the gospel from Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They tested Paul's word against what they knew of God's word, and because the two messages matched, they believed that what he preached was from God and not from demons. That is what every believer should do with every message that claims to be from God. I hope that you are doing that even with me. And I hope you don't believe that whatever I say must be gospel truth because it's Pastor Fawcett. Don't do that. Always keep a Berean attitude of being careful to compare it with what God's word says. No preacher or teacher of the gospel should resent having what he says checked against scripture, because that's what it should be. Should be checked against scripture, and it should be consistent with scripture. Now, those to whom God has given the gift of distinguishing of spirits have a special ability to recognize lying spirits. And this gift is the spirit's watchdog. Some ideas that are promoted as scriptural and that on the surface seem scriptural actually are clever counterfeits that would deceive most believers. Those with the gift of distinguishing of spirits are the Holy Spirit's inspectors, his counterfeit experts, to whom he gives special insight and understanding. By the way, please understand that when a believer with this gift exposes the deception of a lying spirit, it will make sense to the other believers instead of, oh, really? I still don't get it, but if you say it, it must be right. No, it will make sense. The other believers will say, oh, of course, I should have figured that out myself. That's the reaction of those who are hearing someone with a true gift of distinguishing spirits. It won't require them to somehow blindly accept what does not make sense. And that's important. By the way, this gift today may not be found in every congregation, but there are good men of God who are gifted with this special gift, who are writing books or articles. And so therefore it's available to many congregations. And so God still has put it there where we can benefit from that gift. This gift was especially valuable in the early church because the New Testament had not yet been completed. Because of the difficulty and expense of copying, even after it was completed, it was not widely available. As we went through that in Sunday school quite a number of weeks ago, we realized that in the early days, they had to make handwritten copies of the scriptures. Can you imagine copying the entire Bible by hand? How many have ever tried that? Okay, I think you realize that would be an astronomical task. And so therefore, you can see how not many copies would have been available. And it would have been very expensive to get a copy of that. So the Holy Spirit's distinguishers were the church's protectors. Yet the gift of discernment is also especially valuable when the church and the gospel are considered acceptable in society, like it is today. You say, but whoa, a lot of people don't accept it. Yeah, but we have a society where you carry around a Bible, you're not going to be arrested. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? You're not going to be stoned. You're not going to be proscribed. So, in a sense, it's still accepted in society. But the danger of that is that there's a lot of deception that goes on when the gospel is considered acceptable in society. When Christianity is persecuted, counterfeit teachers usually are scarce. They don't want to get arrested. They don't want to get stoned. So they find something else to do. To be in a place where persecution is very rampant there, then at least you usually have very few counterfeiters out there. Because the price for being identified with the gospel is too high for a counterfeiter. They are much more likely to appear in times and in places where Christianity is considered respectable, or at least is tolerated. And this is what you find today here. All sorts of teachers, preachers, writers, and counselors claim to be evangelical and biblical, and yet some of their ideas are totally contradictory to each other. Do you understand that when you look on the web, you can find a plethora of teachers and preachers and writers and counselors. And you need to be so careful because many of them are counterfeit. They are not biblically sound. So be careful, please. Any thinking person can see that some of these ideas are false that are put out there on the internet. Counterfeit teachers used by Satan usually have some truth mixed in with their error. Unfortunately, many basically sound teachers sometimes undiscerningly pick up ideas from psychology, philosophy, and popular thinking that seem biblical but are not. Those with this gift of discernment are to judge even those who prophesy, in other words, even those who preach, as we'll see later in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. That reads this way: let two or three prophets, preachers, speak, preach, and let the others pass judgment. In other words, let some discerners check to see whether that was good. They're nodding their heads, great. If they're saying, whoa, then okay, let's correct whatever you heard that wasn't right. Okay. So you say, but Pastor, are you picking up wrong stuff? I hope not. And I'm being trying to be very careful. I ask God to give me at least a partial portion of the gift of discernment. And you know that that's what I desire, to make sure that you're getting what God's word says and not mixed in with the wrong philosophy. False teaching can be judged by comparing it with scripture, but false spirits can be judged only by the true spirit's gift of distinguishing. One commentator calls this gift the Spirit's gift on gifts because God uses it to reveal to his church whether or not a manifestation of the other gifts is of him or not. Not all counterfeits or imitation of the gifts are demonic. Much of it is simply the work of the flesh, whether it be carnal Christians or unsaved individuals who think they are saved. Both trying to serve the Lord in their own power and for their own benefit and glory. And that is happening a lot today. The gift of distinguishing of spirits then is given to discern whether the other gifts are of the Holy Spirit or whether they are merely natural imitations or whether they are demonic counterfeits. God still empowers some of his people to expose false prophets and carnal hypocrites, imitations and deceptions that most Christians would assume are genuine. Let me give you an example. How many of you ever heard of Dave Hunt? Dave Hunt. Nobody's heard of Dave Hunt? People, I've mentioned him about 100 times in the last 10 years. Thank you. All right, now the hands are going up. Okay. All right. He would be one that I have carefully read, and I see that he is very, very much gifted with this gift. So if he's not alive any longer, but for the stuff that he's written is out there, it's printed, you can trust what he says. I will give you that. What's that called? Endorsement. There we go. Endorsement. Okay. There is a note of caution that I should probably add here. If the believer with this gift is not constantly careful to keep humbly depending on the Holy Spirit's enablement, he can start to get a critical, proud, and self-righteous spirit. That's the flesh that keeps operating if we're not careful, if we're not watchful. Also, when this gift is imitated in the flesh by those who do not have this gift, but wish they did, it can be judgmental instead of corrective. But when it's rightly used by those who truly have this gift, it is a great protection to God's people. God loves you, and he wants you to grow and be safe spiritually. He has put these gifts in his church in order to help you to grow and to be safe spiritually. What a wonderful God that we serve. There are two things that I believe the Lord would have us do in response to what we've just learned. Number one, we need to obey the exhortation of 1 Corinthians 14:1 to earnestly desire the best gifts to be given and manifested in our local assembly. Doesn't mean that you're desiring the gift for yourself. Remember, only the Holy Spirit grants it as he desires, not as you desire. But pray that God will grant those gifts in our local assembly. And secondly, we need to make sure we individually are depending on the Holy Spirit's enablement. And as the Lord shows us what our gift is, using it for his glory and the benefit of others. So we need to obey the exhortation to earnestly desire the best gifts to be given to our local assembly. And we need to make sure we individually are depending on the Holy Spirit's enablement. And as the Lord shows us what our gift is, using it for his glory and the benefit of others. At the end of this series, I'm going to try to help you to maybe figure out what your gift is, okay? I don't have that omniscience. Okay? I can't look at you and say, oh, I know what you've got. No, but I can give you some help as to how to pray and how God may be revealing it to you and how to exercise it. So as we consider what we've studied this afternoon, let's ask the Lord to truly grant these things, grant these gifts in our midst, and also help us to understand what our gift is and his grace to exercise it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word, where you have laid out for us so carefully what we need to know and even warned us about what to watch out for. Thank you, Lord, that you not only gave the gift of prophecy, that is preaching, but you've also given the gift of discernment so that we can know whether the preacher is preaching your word, whether he has incorporated the world's philosophy and psychology into his preaching. Lord, I pray that you would keep me pure in my thinking, in my study of your word, Lord, that your people would get exactly what you want them to hear. I pray, Father, that we would all benefit from the gifts that you have given. I pray that we would exercise these gifts by humbly depending on your enablement to do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to move on to